A word is used in this verse to Christian people. And if you're a Christian here tonight, I want you to listen to what these people in the Bible did. Modern day Christianity is so far from Bible Christianity, they hardly even resemble. As I believe it was one old great preacher, Vance Havner, one of them fellas, said that modern day Christians are so abnormal that if anybody in this generation gets normal, according to the Bible, they're considered abnormal in this generation. We've got so far away from God, in a lot of churches, if a person shouts, they like to have a heart attack and don't even believe in it. Matter of fact, most churches in America, if somebody stood up and went, "Woohoo!" and I mean, cut a shine, they would look at them like they're crazy. That's the way they all did in the Bible. I can prove that to you. In the Old Testament, when Moses would read the scripture, all the people said amen and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground and raised their hands up to heaven. So we're not the oddballs. I mean, if you worship God emotionally and you praise the Lord, you're not an oddball. I don't like people talking about people getting emotional. Boy, have you seen them in the NCAA tournaments? Have you caught any of those glimpses, like maybe the recaps on sports on the news, or maybe didn't the Tar Heels blow it the other night? I heard about that, or part of it. I saw part of it when I got home from the revival meeting. That's pitiful, ain't it? Some people probably backslid over that. Now, the way you know if you got your priorities right, you just serve God and go on and don't worry about it. And be a fanatic for the Lord. Nothing wrong with enjoying sports, but what bothers me is where they talk about us for shouting and rejoicing, and they paint their faces three different colors. Get out on the court and turn flip. Now, tell me who the fanatics are. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I want you to look at this word here. It's a strong word, brother. Look here at verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addicted. Everybody knows what that word means, don't you? That's a modern day word you hear all the time. See it in the newspaper, paper. Hear it on the news. Hear people, I was trying to say people and paper at the same time. But it said, they have addicted themselves to what? Ministry. They're hooked. What are they hooked on? The ministry. They're hooked on helping. They're hooked on getting ministering to other people and helping people out. They are addicted to helping people. Look at the next verse. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth. Boy, that's what modern day Christians need to get through their head. You don't just sit around and soak up the blessings, and you don't go to church to see what you can get. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, I tell you, preacher, I just quit church because I wasn't getting nothing out of it." Show me in the Bible where you're just supposed to go to church to get. Now, you are supposed to get something. Thank God when you do get something. But what about that helping ministry? You reckon if you started helping a little bit that you might get something? You reckon what goes up might come down? What comes around goes around, all that stuff? Reckon your chickens might come home to roost and the Lord might bless you a little bit if you'd start doing something for God? God don't bless bench warmers. God don't bless spectators. He wants to bless those who will get involved and say, "I'm going to put my shoulder and my neck in the plow and in the work and help what's going on." You say, "Uh-oh, I wish I'd have stayed at home tonight." Well, you didn't, so listen. Now listen. Verse 17, "I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." These people needed help, and these fellows come in and helped them.
Verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. These people that are hooked on the ministry, them people of Achaia, in verse 15, you know what they've done? They run around refreshing people's spirits. Oh, my soul, don't you think we need some Christians this day and time that'll say, boy, I'm going to go in my prayer closet and get filled up and get a shine of God on me and just go out and refresh some people? Yeah, we need that kind of Christian. We need some Christians. The average Christian you meet nowadays, their lip sticks out right here. I mean, boy, they'll trip over it when they're walking down the aisle of the church and they're saying, well, how's it going, brother? Terrible. How's it going, sister? My back's hurting, my head's hurting. They're like that lady I heard about here a while back. She went to the doctor and everything you mentioned, she had it. It didn't matter what you mentioned, she had it. And the nurse gave her an examination. She said, you ever had this? Yeah, back trouble, yeah. Kidneys, liver, lungs, heart, back, neck, throat. It didn't matter. She checked everything on the list. And the nurse said, Lord have mercy, ain't nobody can be that bad off. She said, I believe I'll just make one up here at the end. See how bad she really is. She said, well, do your teeth ever itch? Just made it up, you know. And that woman said, you know, come to think of it, that's the way a lot of God's people are, you know. They're pitiful. They ain't never got an encouraging word to say. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. So the countenance of a man is his friend. And you know, I'd like to be able to have the victory and be refreshed and be able to refresh you when I'm around you and lift you up and encourage you. Say, hang in there, man. There's a better day coming. The Lord's going to come and get us. We're not going to see bad times forever. Sure, times are rough, but thank God there's a better day of coming to the child of God. Now listen, I looked up that word addicted in the dictionary. I figured I knew what it meant, but I want to look it up anyway. And let me show you what the dictionary said about addicted. It means this: slavishly following or unable to give up a habit. When a person is addicted to something, they are a slave to a habit and unable to give it up. An addict means, quote, slave to a habit or to devote oneself to a habit. Anything that you can't give up or draw yourself away from, you're an addict. You are addicted to that thing. I don't care if it's money, pleasure, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, cocaine, whatever it is, it's someone who's given over to a habit and unable to quit. Now, what about that? Isn't that something? You think of an old cocaine addict or somebody shooting up heroin, and you think about them in some old abandoned apartment building somewhere, and every day they'll take a little cap and cup and heat some of that stuff up, you know, and pull it up in that needle, tie that arm off there and cut that blood circulation up, make them veins pop out there, stick that needle in their arm, and they just think, I've got me a fix. And it feels real good for ever how many hours it lasts, a day or 24 or 6 or 8 or whatever. But as soon as that wears off, their bodies crave for another shot. And I thought about that. And I thought about that is the very same word that God Almighty uses for some Christians getting addicted to helping other people and working in the ministry. I thought, great day. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a church full of people that said, boy, I got to have it. I got to have it. Preacher, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. I want to so bad I can't stand. I got to have a fix. Preach to me, Brother Danny. Let me have it. I've had a lot of them do that. I've had a lot of them. I've had people come over to my house at night and just say, preach to me. And I'll say, what do you want me? I don't care. Just preach to me. And I say, Lord of God, they got it bad, brother. They got a habit. They got a habit. And they got a habit because they got a habit where they got a habit. And they want more of God and want more of the Word. The Bible said they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. You know what we got? We got a lot of spiritual social drinkers. Oh, they need a little shot of Jesus about once a month, and that's all they want. They don't like to get drunk off of Him. They don't want a good fix with God. And we need some people who will say, I want to be hopelessly given up. I want to be an addict. Our generation don't like that kind of Christian. Our generation wants to take Christianity in stride. Our generation wants to say,
Well, if you want to go to church on Sunday morning, cool. And if you don't, cool. And our generation says, well, don't get involved. I've been in a lot of churches and we say, Brother so-and-so, could you teach a Sunday school class for us this year? And Brother so-and-so says, no. Sister, how about you? No. And you know, they come up with that old line the devil invented several years ago. Preacher, I just don't feel worthy to teach a class. You've heard that, ain't you? Now, when that is said, what that means is, I don't want to stay up and study on Saturday night. You kidding? But they translated, that means, I don't feel worthy. Now, listen, brother. I ain't up here preaching tonight because I'm worthy. It ain't none of us worthy. I'm preaching tonight because God has given me this job to do. And if I don't do my job, it won't get done. And if God gave you a job, your job won't get done unless you do it. And God's got us all something He wants us to do. We need to be addicted to it. Be willing to do something for God. These preachers can't even have revival meetings in their churches because the people in the church won't even come. They're embarrassed. I had a preacher call me one evening, and he called me up, and he said, Preacher, can you come preach revival in our church? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to, brother, if I can. He's about 50 miles from here. He said, well, let's look at our calendars here and get your calendar out. We started going over some dates. He said, well, brother, I just might as well be honest with you. He said, it was about August or September. He said, there ain't no use in us trying to have revival till football season's over. That's what he said. Now, I didn't say nothing. I just kept my mouth shut. And I said, brother, I thought in my soul, I thought, brother, there ain't no use in you trying to have a revival after football's over. That's right. I mean, if your church don't care no more about God than they do about football, you can forget revival. You hear me? I said, God's got to be number one. The Lord has to take first place. God don't play second fiddle to nobody or no thing. He's got to come first. And boy, I tell you what, I sure would hate to get on that airplane tomorrow, headed up toward Philadelphia, and us get up there about 28,000 feet. Buddy, you can look down there in your little bitty houses. Hey, it don't even make as end of your finger. You can see a river, and there goes the Blue Ridge Mountains, and now we're over Tennessee, and now we're over Kentucky. And you can see 100 miles in either direction. I sure would hate for that pilot to come walking back through there and say, folks, I just don't feel worthy to fly this plane. I'm going to let some younger person do it coming in. I'd say, but you get up there and fly this thing. I don't care if you feel worthy or not. Don't you get us killed, you nut. There's a job to do. Get up there and fly this plane. I tell you tonight, folks, there's kids need to be taught. There's buses need to be driven. There's little boys and girls need to be taught Bible verses. There's work needs to be done. There's walls need to be painted. There's work at the kit needs to be done. We need some people that'll say, I love God. I want to do something for God. You know what you'll do? You'll use something as an excuse to keep from doing for God. Something happened to hurt your feelings. Something going on you don't agree with. And they're, oh, got me an excuse now. I ain't going to serve God. That's the way they're going to do. You're just using that for excuse. And God won't accept that excuse. He won't do it. Thou art inexcusable. Well, if we're going to talk about addicts tonight, I guess the title of the message would be Hooked on the Ministry. Let me just give you a few things. I don't have a definite outline to go by tonight. I just want to point out some things. Somebody said, there is no loving other people without living for other people. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we would forget about our problems and quit trying to sponge off everybody and see what we could get and rather try to give and begin to give out of ourselves? Man made a great statement one time, and this statement gets me under conviction every time I read it, but I'm going to read it to you. And I mean, it's rough. I get down and try to pray before I can even read it to you. And it says this, one's love for God, listen ladies, listen men, one's love for God is equal to the love one has for the man he loves the least. If that feller's right, the way you know how much you love God is pick out the person that you love the least in the world, and that's how much you love God. Boy, it's quiet in here as a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving evening. I just don't know if I go along with that, Brother Danny. I don't know if I do either. Puts me under conviction just like it does you. Because we like to think, boy, we love God, yet we hate our brother or sister. You know, I'll tell you something, ladies. You know how much you love God? You add your love to God to be equal to the person in here you despise. Let me tell you something, man. You know that boss man at work that you nearly cussed out last week? That's how much you love God, according to that fella. That's rough, ain't it? That's one of the roughest statements I've ever read in my life. Matter of fact, I believe yous are bucking on me. You say, Brother Danny, I've always agreed with what you preach, but I tell you what, that's a little bit... Sure is, I don't agree with it either. Bless God, let's vote it out. That is a little too rough. Boy, I hope you ain't right, don't you? I reckon we better start loving people. You know, there's been some people in my life that stabbed me in the back big time. I mean bad Christians. About all of them claim to be Christians. And I was sitting right here one night, and I've done like you have. I pray, God, get them. Get them. Show them, Lord. Straighten them out. Kill that one over, you know. And I was sitting right down here one night, and one of the preachers at the Bible College, I don't remember which one it was. I believe it might have been Brother Bobby. He preached something hard on, oh yeah, about Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. You know how come some of you people got problems tonight? Because you got people that you hate and you don't like and you won't love them and pray for them. So God says, all right, bow. Let you suffer a while. Do you get that sin out of your heart? And that night I went to the altar, and there was people that I really had pretty good reason to hate. And yous know something about it too. And I got down right here, and I said, all right, God, no more. I ain't going to hate them no more. God, you know it's going to take a miracle, because really I do hate them. But God, if you'll help me tonight, as of tonight, I will no more hate them. And God, I pray that you'll bless them. Bless them. Buddy, I got it out of my heart. It's out of my heart. It's out of my heart. And now if I see one of them going down the road, or if I see one uptown, I can just say, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. And I mean it, too. I hope God will just bless. You know why? Because if I want God to bless me, I'm going to have to care about other people. And I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't spit on them for his own fire. And then say, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm ready to fly away. I'm sprouting wings. You better check them. Might be horns you're sprouting. And then I've heard others say, well, I'll tell you what, if I seen them dying, I'd help them. But other than that, I just don't want nothing. You better get that hate out of your heart. I'm telling you, because I love you. I love you. Get up here tonight. You better get in the ministry, helping, 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 helping. You know, you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because Jesus said, sinners help them that help them. If that's the way you operate, you're no better than a sinner. We're all to be able to love people that hate us and despitefully use us and cast out our name as evil. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I've had my chances with smart off and get vengeance. And every time I start thinking like that, the Lord says, you better watch it, son. You better watch it. He said, I let them crucify me. You better watch that attitude. One's love for God is equal to the one that he loves the least. I don't know how I got off on that. But let me say this tonight. We talk a lot about being devoted to the Lord. You know what Dorcas did in Acts chapter 9, verse 36? She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. I heard about a lady up in Hammond, Indiana, for the First Baptist Church of Hammond, who worked the bus route. Some of you ain't even going to agree with this. This woman's daddy died. I think it was on Friday. Her daddy died. All the family would get together, have a meal, receive friends on Saturday night. The funeral would be on Sunday. That sister got out on Saturday morning, knocked on doors all day long, and got those bus kids on that bus while her daddy was laying at the funeral home. That's what we need some more of in this generation. That's That's what we need some people that'll say, I'm hooked. I'm addicted
to the work of the Lord. I read about a lady, or heard about a lady, who said she grew up watching her mom and daddy win souls to Jesus. That's the kind of life she wanted to live. Brother David Cloud, our missionary in Nepal, that brother was nearly run out of the country, I think nearly arrested, all kinds of trouble happened. He got sent out of the country. He turned right around and went right back. Oh, how we ought to be hooked on the ministry.
I heard of people doing stuff like this. I heard of a cab driver who, because he wanted to do something for the Lord, gave free rides to handicapped people. I heard of an older lady who wanted to do something for the Lord. And she wasn't able to sing or wasn't able to preach or teach a class. You know what she done? She got her a little shaving kit and took it to the old folks' home, and there's a bunch of old men in there, 80 years old, that ain't shaved in weeks. And she'd go in each one of them's room and sit there and lather up their face and shave them men and witness to them. Want them to God. You're too good to do that, I reckon. Now, how much better a circumstance would you want? Here's that guy laying back. You got a razor on his throat. Can I talk to you about your soul? Man, that'd take a genius to think up something that smart. And she's winning them to God, too.
I noticed last night in revival, when I was down there preaching, and we had a little disturbance from the babies, kind of like it was in here this morning. You know, they just, wow. And
I asked a couple of times, I said, ladies, y'all have to help me out now. It's getting plumb ridiculous, you know. They was just making so much racket, I couldn't even hardly hear myself.
And some of the ladies were having trouble with their babies in the back. And I saw one of the ladies from our church, while I was preaching, get up and walk to the back and stay back there the entire rest of the service and help another sister with baby.
And right, even while I was preaching, a thought went through my mind. There's a Christian who's growing up in the Lord. You know what we're like a lot of times? We're like a bunch of little kids. And you take a bunch of little kids to the park or to the good night. Let's say you took them to Disney World or somewhere. You say, all right, kids, we're all going to do it. Buddy, they fight and they push each other and they get right on the front seat and they say, no, you get out of here. Get out of here. And say, kids, I need some help back here. No, sir, I'm on the front row. I want everything I can get. That's the way we are a lot of times as God's people. Boy, you'll see every once in a while one of them mature enough to say, I'm willing to stand back here and do the work so that these others can hear. Every Sunday morning while I'm up here preaching, there's ladies in there praying. There's a bunch of them back there in the nursery. They just as well be in world boxing as be back there in that nursery. They sure beat world wrestling. It's real back there. And brother, you know why they're doing that? Because you people out here in the pews can sit here and listen to what God said. You know, there's a lot of people say, not me. I ain't wasting my time. I'm going to get in here and get something from God. You know what God will do? He'll dump it out on them and pass you by. We need some Christians who will say, I've been soaking it up for years. Brother Danny, I want to go to work for God. I want to do something for the Lord. Every once in a while, there's somebody comes up and they'll say, preacher, put me to work. Put me to work. What do you want me to do? Boy, I love to hear that kind of talk. Of course, most time people don't mean that. I've had people say, boy, if you need me to do anything, let me know. And you let them know and you don't ever see them because it's something they didn't want to do. They was lying when they said it. But I thank God for them that'll say, preacher, put me to work. Put me to work. I said, see that man right over there? Go talk to him. Tell him I want to do something. And the first thing you know, he's got them printing up flyers. Or he's got them doing, hey, folks, hey, you listen to me tonight? There's no telling our church here. We've got enough people in this church to touch McDowell County, turn this place upside down for the glory of God. If every one of us would just get busy and get on fire and say, I want to do something for God. Get hooked on it.
You ever tried to make your brother and sister look good? Somebody's talking about a piano player one time, and they said, that piano player is so good that she makes people sound better than they are. Boy, what a talent to be able to, you know,
I talked to somebody one time. I'd run into them at a restaurant.
They go to another church.
They said, "Come here, Aunt Danny." I went over and they said, "You need some new members?" I said, "Uh-oh." I said, "Why?" And they said, "Our church ain't so hot." In the back of my mind, I said, "Well, no wonder. Get it? I bet it's been 5 years since you brought anybody to God and won any souls. You probably sat there and criticized everything that's going on. Lord, don't let them come to our church." Instead of sitting and griping about this not being done or that not being done, they said, "I'll just go find me another church." You know what? They're a sponge, man. They want to come and just soak it up instead of do anything for the Lord. You know what love is? Let me show you what love is. Now, you can, husbands and wives can apply this to each other, and also Christians. Love is slow to suspect, and quick to trust. You know what most of us are? We're quick to suspect and slow to trust. We automatically think the worst of one of our brothers and sisters. Love is slow to condemn, quick to justify. If I love Brother John and somebody comes up to me tomorrow and they say, "Boy, man, you got leading the choir down there as a hypocrite." You know what? I'm not going to say, I promise you. I'm not going to say, "Oh, really? Tell me about it." I ain't going to do it. I'm going to say, "Hey, I've been with that man for 10 years, 9 years, something like that. I know him. I've watched his life for years. You've got it wrong, buddy. You've made some mistake. I didn't say he's perfect. Maybe he has messed up. But I know him. He loves God." I'd do that for anybody in here I know. You know what? You know what? We're a bunch of chickens nowadays. We're a chicken. We're scared to death. Somebody's going to label us or call us a fanatic or call us a preacher religion, you know, or cause us to belong into a cult or we won't even stand for what we know is right. That love, you know, is quick to defend, slow to expose, quick to shield, slow to belittle, quick to appreciate, slow to demand, quick to give, slow to provoke, quick to help, slow to resent, quick to forgive and long-suffering with. I heard about a man who got cancer from carrying so many Bibles into a foreign country, and he had these straps over his shoulders, and they wore down into his shoulders and turned into sores. And it finally gave him cancer. And there's operating on him out there in the hospital room. And there's one of his converts outside the door. And boy, he stood there beside that brother. And he said, "Brother, I'll be right out here. If they need blood, if they need bones, if they need skin grafts, I'll stand here and wait." And I thought, my, what a picture of Christians. How we ought to love each other. The world sure don't love us. We better love each other. How we say, "Preacher, I'm here. Brother Bruce, I'm here. Sunday school teacher, I'm here. Brother or sister, I'm here. If you need my blood, if you need my skin, if you need my bones, I'm willing to give of what I've got to help you out." That's what we need. They said that I heard about a girl who's in college, and she was making $9 an hour, and is still taking everything she could make to make ends meet. And this has been years and years ago, and she knew, she said, "I'm going to go try to help out," and she knew her roommate didn't have a job. And somebody called her up and offered her a job making $16 an hour. All she had to do was say yes. You know what she done? She could have just said, "Yeah, I'll take it," and then said, "Boy, I'm going to help my friend out and give her my job for $9 an hour." She told her friend about the $16 an hour job and kept her. You know, when I read that, I felt like a dog. Because I thought how far that is from modern Christianity. Our special citizens are such a blessing. I see them up there. Every once in a while, when I'm up in the old building, I see those special citizens come in. Did you see their picture in the paper we had in there couple of weeks ago? Boy, wasn't that a blessing. I'm proud for the people of McDowell County to know that they come to our church. Don't you ever sit there and say, "Oh no, my neighbor is here and those special citizens are going to be out there." You need to get down here and get your heart right with God. Amen.
buddy.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in worse shape than they are tonight. Matter, sometimes I wonder who's crazy and who ain't. They act a lot happier than we are. Amen, brother. It's time that we quit saying, boy, we're something special. We're a big shot. We're nothing. We don't have nothing to prove to nobody. We ain't got we're not running in a race. We're not in a popularity contest. We're not competing against other churches. We're just trying to serve God and do what God's called us to do here in this town. Sometimes you get it all backwards. You know, I've noticed it. Sometimes you'll let your friends buy with stuff and condemn other people for doing the very same thing. I've noticed this up in the old building. Two women would get pregnant. Now, one of them you like and the other one you don't like. The one of them you don't like is out one Sunday. I've heard women say, now, just because she's pregnant, she thinks she's got to stay home. She'll probably use that for an excuse for the next 3 months to lay out of church and not just give her down the road. And the one she likes misses. In the prayer room, she'll say, pray for so-and-so. She's having morning sicknesses, and, you know, she's pregnant. And we ought to go over and help her out and clean up her house. That ain't right. You know that ain't right. You ought to treat everybody in this church the same. Buddy, you notice there ain't nobody in here that I run around with all the time. You know why? I do that deliberately. Because I don't ever want you to get the idea that I'm playing favorites and I just buddy up to a certain crowd. Brother, if you sat on the back pew and you joined last week, you're just as important to me as a man sits on the front pew and joined 10 years ago. That's the way it's supposed to be. And there ain't no big eyes and little U's around here. There ain't no big daddy rabbits that run the show. I'm just a church member like everybody else. We're all sinners saved by grace, and better if we're going to help one, we ought to help another one. Not play favorites. You say, well, I heard they done something they shouldn't do. Well, they're still saved and love God. You better watch your mouth. You're liable to be next, and you're liable to mess up worse than they did. I believe God is grieved with our Pharisaical attitude when we look down our nose and say, boy, I'd never let one of my kids do what they did the other day. How could she let her kid do that? I'd never do what so-and-so did. You better watch that stuff, brother. You're liable to be doing it in worse shape than they are in less than a year's time. You better just thank God you've got as good a kid as you have. Right, I'm preaching the truth to you tonight. I didn't plan on saying all this. It's just coming out. Don't let personal feelings determine how you serve God, who you serving anyway. I've heard people, when they get mad about something at the church, hold their tithes back. Boy, ain't you mature. You accept Jesus, He accepts you. I've had people cutting this youth choir. And I know that they had done things they shouldn't have done. I've had boys get up here in this youth choir if their hair was too long. And I've had super critical Christians say, Danny should never let them sing like that. But what they don't know is, I care about that person. And I get them in here at youth choir practice. I am not there. We've had a couple of our bus kid girls come to church wearing pants. And I don't think you should do that. I think you ought to dress your very best in the house of God. If you girls ain't got a dress to wear, if you don't own one, we'll take up an offer and buy you some. You see me at service and we'll do it. We've had people say, I don't believe they ought to either. But I tell you what I'm not going to do, and you can just like it or lump it. I'm not going to go somebody and point them out and say, make a big scene and hurt them and may knock them out of church the rest of their life. I don't believe that's an attitude that God's people are supposed to have. I'm not condoning doing wrong. I think a guy ought to have short hair. So you know what I do? I get them all in here together at practice, and I say, now kids, if you're going to sing in the choir, get you a decent haircut, dress right, and make a general application, and that way you don't hurt nobody's feelings. You know what? I was in a church one night, and the preacher got up, and he preached. And boy, it was a good revival. The Lord really moved. And there's two teenage girls come down to the altar, and got saved and had on pants. And the preacher got up, the pastor of the church, and the place was packed out. And he said, all right, you girls get saved? They said, yes, sir. And there's a bawling, crying right in front of everybody. You know how nervous you'd be. And the preacher looked at him and he said, now go home and get them britches off. Get you a dress. Come back tomorrow night. You know what that was? That's stupidity. That's ignorance. The night I got saved, my hair was down to here. But you know, I don't have to stand up here and show off how strict I am and brag about all my convictions, y'all. You just know what I believe. Give God a chance to deal with a young'un. They just got saved, man. You better have a millstone tied around your neck. That's what offend a little one that believes in the Lord. Bet you didn't straighten up your act the very second you got saved. I bet it took God a while to deal with you. He's still having a time with some of you. Amen, Brother Danny. Preach it, brother. You're saying, oh, Brother Danny's just compromising. You're a nut. That's what you are. You're a nut. You know what you're talking about. I probably got stricter conviction as anybody in here. I put my convictions up against anybody's in here. I believe some things you'd think I'm stupid if I told you. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff. I pray about what to wear. I pray about which way to turn at a red light, man. I feel guilty sometimes, turn around and go back the other way. I'm plumb fanatical. I'm crazy. But I ain't going to get up here. I'm not going to get up here and try to prove to you how holy I am and hurt some kid or somebody that just got saved and make a big scene. That ain't right. That ain't right. I want to help people. I want to help people. I want to preach hard on sin, but I want to help people. Love is slow to suspect, quick to trust.
Sometimes we just are hard on people. Good night. They give up hope. They give up. People need help, folks. They're weak sheep. We don't condone sin. That's ridiculous to even think. But I'm saying this. People's in bad shape. They need somebody to love them.
I could bring up some issues tonight that blow your mind. That's coming. That is coming to this church and every church in the next few years if Jesus don't come. A friend of mine went down to Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte where Dr. Jack Hudson was pastor. And I tell you who it was, Bill Long. And it was years ago. And Bill told me, he said he went down there to visit one Sunday morning just to see what was going on. He said he was sitting there and he said there's two girls right in front of him had on shorts. And he said he liked to die. He said, I was sitting there and I was thinking, God help. What an abomination. God, you're grieved. What a wicked, filthy, nasty thing. Right here in our house of God. Man put up with that ought to be ashamed. He ought not to be in the pulpit. And they were bus kids. And during the invitation, they went down to Olive and got saved. And Bill said the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, yeah, you'd have run them off, wouldn't you? You know I wore shorts to church on Wednesday night and sung the choir? Brother Danny. Now I wore these football shirts that comes down to here and then from here to here it's just a net. You can see through it. To church! Now I wouldn't put up with that. I would run them out if they come in here like that. But thank God for a pastor that said he probably bit nails. Preacher Holyfield, he had to swallow a lot of stuff. But he knew that God had touched our lives, and if he'd give God a little while to work on us, you young people better be real careful about this. You get all fired up and on fire for God, you get rid of your rock music, you get rid of this, and if you're not careful, you'll condemn and condemn and condemn and condemn any other of the young people that maybe not made it that far yet and wind up knocking them out. For God has a chance to work on them. You make sure you stand for what's right. You make sure you do what's right. But at the same time, put your arm around them and say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And try to encourage them in the work of the Lord. We need to get hooked, man, on the ministry. We need to get hooked. You say, Brother Danny, I want to do something. What do you want me to do? We got a camp to run this summer. And I mean to tell you, you've got an opportunity to win souls and be a witness for God like few people have. We have right here at our church. We got that youth rally coming up in April. There'll be people here from probably 7 or 8, 9 different states. We got plenty to do, plenty to do. I'm going to say a couple of things here and I'll close.
It's your best days when you forget yourself and learn to do something for somebody else. Somebody said to me, somebody said not long ago, to love the world, it is no chore. My only problem is my neighbor next door. One Christian woman got mad at somebody else, and they said, I ain't never speaking to them again. I ain't having nothing to do with them. I don't have to love them. And they went home and they prayed, and the Lord said, will you do it for my sake? Because I love you, will you love them? And they said, yes, Lord, I'll do it for your sake. See, if that other person don't deserve it, and if you don't want to, do it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Sometimes I do something I do for the church. It ain't because I'm all inspired and gung-ho and want to do it. I want to do it for the Lord. You know why you ought to be faithful to God's house? For the Lord. For the Lord. Because He loved you. Sometimes you don't feel like nobody loves you. One woman fussed at her little old boy so much. She fussed at him. She said, I'm going to wear you out. And boy, she just blessed him out. He went through the house with his lips sticking out. He got real quiet and she didn't know where he was. He went in there in the bathroom and sat down. In a few minutes she went in there and she could hear him in there. And he's sitting on the commode saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. And there's a lot of people, they think the Lord's the only one that loves them. And somebody needs to show them. You heard what Wade said when he was up here giving his testimony a minute ago? You know what all it took? This man's life has changed, folks. Put a value on that. Because Bruce come by and seen him. Think about that. Think about it. You seen old Gene? Stand up there, Gene. See that boy up here singing a while ago? You know why he's here? Bus workers going to his house getting him. Gary, same way. A lot of other ones here tonight. I mean, these all them little old brats just run in and fire up everything. I think we ought to just leave them at home. Boy, ain't you glad we didn't leave them two at home?
Amen.
Aren't you glad somebody was patient with them? Aren't you glad somebody cared? Hey, you might have 50 that tears the house down, but if one gets it, it's worth every dollar that's spent, every prayer that's prayed, every door that's knocked on. I'm telling you, there's not a greater work in the world than to be out just doing something for God. Boy, I know somebody who comes in at night and gets his change out of his pocket. Let me see if I got some. Like this. And every night when they come in, they let the change. You can pick up a dollar sometime, quarter, 50 cent, 35 cent, and they keep putting it in a jug. And over a period of months, they might save up $35 or $40 like that. And they say, that's something to do something for somebody else. And just go get that money and go buy somebody in the church something or take them out to eat. Or buy them a dress, or buy them something nice for one of the kids. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If every one of us... You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you don't believe that, but that's the truth. Some of you don't believe that. You know, did you know I love my new car? But I felt like a dog ever since I've had it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Really, I mean, glory to God, man. It's a blessing. I've done got 1,400 miles on it. Ain't drove it but a week. I've had it 2 weeks and been gone one and a half of them. Or three. I drove about a week and a half and I've been putting it to use. And I ain't took it on no pleasure ride. That's been business. But I feel like a dog because I thank God. Hey, so many other people needs more stuff and help. And so I try to make it up. And I'll try to do something for somebody else. Help a preacher out. Take him out to lunch. Throw away a 20 here. Throw away a 10 there. You say, why, Brother Danny? You got money to waste? Nah, because I know if I'll just do something for somebody else once in a while, God just keeps a dumping them blessings back on me. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. I believe it works like that. I'm going to close tonight. I love my song. I ain't sung it in years. We used to sing it up there. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, My prayer shall be for others. Everybody that remembers it, help me on the chorus. Others, Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. The Christian life is more than just sitting in a pew on Sunday morning or singing in the choir, getting real spiritual. The Christian life is when you're out there at work or at school and you're just helping people out. Jesus went about doing good. We got a program coming up here in April. I'll give you a good idea tonight. What if you come to the altar and you said, God, of those 8 weeks of our spring program, I'll be here every Sunday morning for Sunday school, and I'm going to set me aside a time and visit every one of those 8 weeks. Everybody in here could do that. What if we had 400 people that visited one home in 1 week? 400 homes. Some of our bus workers make over 100 contacts in one Saturday. That'd be 700-800 homes we could reach every week. How about it? Let's stand by our head. Come on, Brother John, get us a song. We'll pray. If you'd like to come to the altar tonight, you can. If you want to stay there and pray at your seat, you can. God's spoken to your heart tonight. Has He? No one's talking. No one's looking around. Maybe you need to just get in there and really get dedicated. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we're coming up on a time of year this spring that we're going to be trying to do a lot of work, reaching a lot of people, doing a lot of things. God, give us a heart for others. Lord, help us to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Dear Lord Jesus, do it for your sake. Help that one that's struggling, Lord. There's somebody in here tonight that needs to get something settled between them and you. God, help them to settle it. Help them to settle it, Lord. Help them to settle it. Help them to bury the hatchet right here at this altar tonight and not take it home with them, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God's dealing with your heart tonight and you need to come, just get out of your seat and join these on the altar. While we sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way," would you come?
We're the clay.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Amen. God's speaking to you. Come on.
Have thine own.
Thinking of yourself and think of somebody else.
Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Go ahead, brother, sing. God's doing some people
have
some good tonight. The Lord's speaking to hearts. God's speaking to somebody else tonight. You need to come. Just come on. You need to come. Come on. Let the Lord have His way in your heart.
Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Everybody, come on now. Sing.
Power, all power. surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Everybody say,
have thine own way.
Pianist, plays softly. Still some people getting some things fixed up. You need to get something fixed up. Say, preacher, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. God will help you. God will help you if you'll do it. God will help you if you'll do it. It's your decision now. It's your decision. Decision. Only you can settle it between you and God. Yes, glory to God. Amen. Just keep praying for a few seconds. There's still some people getting things settled. My, my, my. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints and helping other people. Amen. You can look this way now. Just go ahead and play, keep playing, sister. Some are still praying. She can keep playing just a few seconds. You know what got me started thinking about this? I read that scripture and it kind of got on my heart. And then my mom, I talked to mom the other day. You know, she's been staying with my sister, helping her. And she said, no. She said, you know, after something happens to Sandy or she gets better or something, whatever, she said, I'd like to dedicate the rest of my life to helping people. And I guess really a lot of times you don't realize how many people need help till you get out and be around them and find out. That's why I think everybody here ought to come on Saturday and go out. Just go with some of these bus workers. Oh, my soul. If all you ever do is go to church, your whole outlook on life gets all messed up because you're not taking it out there to the real world. That's why so many churches fall into so many crazy things, is they forget what we're here for. We're not here to prove to everybody else we're better than they are. We're here to help them to God. Help them to God. Amen. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. In the meantime, do your best to help somebody else along that need help. Amen. All right. Believe all minds and hearts clear. Remember all these announcements. Please pray for me this week. I dread taking another trip this quick, and I don't like to be gone, but I only have to be gone one more time out of state before school's out, and that's about the May, up to Ohio. So please pray for us this week. God will keep us safe and get us back home. Pray for my little girls. God will help them. And we want Sunday school teachers and all the assistants. We'll need you up here about 5 minutes if you don't mind to come right here in this section as soon as we get gone. So, okay? You're at liberty to go. God.